Today we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. I want to read it now. We're probably going to come back to it later on in the message. We'll look at it again. But let me just read it first, and then we'll come back to it later. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. We're going to put it on the screen from the New Living Translation. So if you want to follow that way, you can. You are going to need a Bible today, so grab a Bible, have it close by, and we're going to look at another scripture that you're going to need the Bible for. Okay, let me read this from Paul, 2 Corinthians 2. But thank God he has made us his captives. Thank God that he's made us his captives. And continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. We stink to some people. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. We smell pretty good. And who is adequate for such a task as this? That's for sure. You see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. Today we're going to talk about being a witness for Christ. In other words, sharing the good news about Jesus. Basically, sharing with others what you've learned about Christ and what Christ has done in your life. Sharing that with others. It's our third pillar in the things we've been looking at to bring God's glory down to the church. We want to see God's glory. We want to experience the manifested presence of God when we come together. Why even come together if God's not here, if we're not experiencing God, right? And so we're looking at some pillars that would help this happen. Let's review for a second. Our first pillar was worship. When Jesus is fervently worshipped in spirit and in truth, it brings down God's glory on the church. The second pillar was preaching. Preaching the authority of God's word without apology in the power of the Holy Spirit brings God's glory down on the church. And today, the third pillar is witnessing. A clear, direct witness to others about our own relationship with Jesus Christ will bring God's glory down on the church. Do you know that God has done more than just give us a message that we can share with others? He's also given us a manner in which, whatever method you use to share this message, He's given us a manner in which to get that message out. A manner in which to do it. Many years ago, I came across a young man. And this young man would just go up to people in the streets. He'd even knock on people's doors. And just go up to people. And he would kind of rant. He'd get in their faces, you know, and kind of rant about how they were, "You're going to hell unless you repent," type of thing, you know. He would even wear a t-shirt. In the front of the t-shirt, it said "Turn." And in the back of his t-shirt, it said "Or Burn." And it had these flames, you know, on the back of the t-shirt. And I'm sure that he thought he was being very bold for Christ. But I don't think that he was. I think that he was being obnoxious for Christ. I think that he was being rude for Christ. I think he was even being proud, that he had something, you know, he was going to tell them, type of an attitude. And I really didn't here of many that he actually led to the Lord, maybe the opposite, but I really didn't hear too much of what good he was doing by the way that he was doing it. Maybe I'm not giving you a good enough picture of what he was like, but he just didn't do a very good job. But I have to say that the key word that describes best what we're doing when we're to speak for Christ is the word bold. We are to be bold. The Greek word is parousia. Did I put that up there? I think I did. Yeah, parousia. And this word parousia is a Greek word that's translated many different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes it's translated as the word openly or freely. Other times it's translated plainly or with confidence. But most times it's translated to some form of the word bold or boldness or being bold. Boldness or being bold in our witness to Christ therefore means being very open and honest and sincere, speaking plainly as well as freely. It means speaking with confidence because we know what we know about the Lord. And so it's sharing about our relationship with the Lord that we have, with the possibility of maybe some opposition, but doing it with a sense of boldness. What boldness is not pushy. Boldness is not having to be loud or obnoxious. Boldness is not being rude or demanding. But boldness is a clear and direct communication in the face of potential opposition. Nothing more, nothing less. In the book of Acts, not only do we have a story in the book of Acts of how the apostles and other believers brought this good news to people, not only do we have in Acts the different methods that were used to bring this good news about Jesus to people, but we also have the manner that accompanied their sharing, and that manner was one of boldness. So I want to take a look at Acts. I want to look eventually at Acts chapter 4, and that's what we're going to look at in a minute. But first, I want to take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 29, where Peter says, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently." Parousia. Confidently. It's the same word as bold, that's been translated bold. "I can tell you confidently." And so Peter was witnessing, he was proclaiming this good news about Jesus, and he was speaking with confidence, and why not? Because Peter had come to be convinced that the only hope for mankind was in Jesus Christ. And he was convicted by that, and so that gave him a boldness to speak about Christ whenever he had an opportunity to do so. But I want us to take a look at Acts chapter 4. You need to turn to that because it's kind of a large section of scripture and I didn't want to put it all on the screen. It's from verses 1 to verse 31. And it's another example of Jesus being shared with boldness. You see there in verse 2 that the religious leaders were quite upset. My version says they were very disturbed, thoroughly annoyed with the apostles because the apostles were teaching people about Jesus and they were proclaiming in Jesus a resurrection from the dead. And they didn't want this being told and they were very, very upset about it. And so we see in verse 3 that they take Peter and John, I don't know why they chose them, maybe they were more of the leaders, and they chose them and they threw them in jail for overnight. But if you see in verse 4 that their bold teaching caused many to believe. And it says there that the number of believers had risen to over 5,000 people at that point because of their bold teaching. But now they find themselves in jail. Well, the next day, the leaders call for Peter and John to be taken from their cell and to be brought before this council to be questioned. And we see that in verse 7, they say to them, by what power are you doing this? Who, in whose name, by what authority are you doing these things that you're doing? And in verse 8, it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's where his boldness came from, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to the leaders, well, I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you where this boldness comes from. And you see there in verse 10, he says, let me tell you very clearly, let me state it very clearly to all of you, to all of you that are in this council, to all the people of Israel, let me tell you very clearly. If you're asking why we speak with this boldness, if you're asking why you're seeing wonderful miracles done in through our lives, let me tell you that it's by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene that this has happened. The very one that you crucified, Peter says to them, the very one that you crucified, Jesus, God raised him from the dead, and now it's in his name that we do these things. I mean, talk about being plain in what you're saying, and talk about being bold. Here he is talking to the very people who put them in jail, and could do it again, and maybe do something worse. And they say, you're the ones who put the Messiah on the... You had him crucified, but God raised him from the dead. He's still talking about the resurrection of the dead, even after the threats. And then with continued boldness, Peter continues to proclaim that forgiveness from sin is found in Jesus Christ and in him only. And he says there in verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. Don't apologize for it. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. This is what Peter is saying here. I know that a lot of people think that there's many ways to get to God, or there's many ways to salvation, but Jesus says, and the Bible says, that this is the only way to be saved, through the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter, with very, not arrogant, not with pride, but with love and with concern for these people that he's talking to, and with conviction and therefore boldness, Peter says to them, this Jesus that you crucified, God has raised him from the dead. It's in his name that we preach, because he alone can bring salvation to every man, woman, and child of this world. Just weeks before this, Peter was fearful of the words of a servant girl, denying that he even knew Jesus. But now, having experienced the risen Christ, having been with him and seeing him and being with him after his death, seeing him raised from the dead, having received the Spirit of Christ, being controlled by the Holy Spirit, you can't be silent before this ruling council. And so he tells them in boldness about Christ. So how do they respond? Look at verse 13. It says that the members of the council were amazed when they saw the parousia of Peter and John, the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were just ordinary men. They had no special training in the scriptures. But they also recognized that these men had been with Jesus. So at this point, they order that Peter and John be removed from the council so that they could talk privately, they could discuss it privately, and confer and talk about what they should do. And in verse 16, once they have Peter and John out of the away for a moment, they say, well, what should we do with these guys? What should we do with these men? Verse 16. And then they conclude, and it's in verse 17, we must warn them they should never speak to anyone ever again in the name of Jesus. And so in verse 18, they call the apostles back in, and they command them, you are never again to speak and teach in the name of this Jesus. Well, good luck with that. How do you think that's going to go? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Peter and John let them know it wasn't going to happen, because they left the council with just one question. It's in verse 19. And they say, well, Do you think we should obey God? Or do you think we should obey you? What do you guys think? That's what the council thought too. Now that's boldness. Because he's saying to them, listen, it's impossible for us not to talk about what we have seen and what we have heard. We have seen Jesus put to death. We have seen him raised from the dead. We have seen him ascend. We saw these things. We were there. We saw them. We heard what Jesus had to say with our own ears. How can we not tell others about what we have seen and heard? And so, you know, to the very people that was threatening them, they said, you know, I hope it's the same for us, that we simply cannot stop speaking about what Jesus has done for me and want to obey God when he's leading me to tell someone else about what he's done for me. And so in verse 21, the council threatens them further and then lets them go. The council says, next time maybe it'd be worse than prison. So they threaten them, but then they let them go. And so in verse 23 and 24, John and Peter leave, and they go back to where the other believers are, and they tell them what these religious leaders, these leaders, leading priests and elders had said to them, how the threats that they put upon them. And when they heard the report, when the believers heard this report from Peter and John, they lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Now, isn't that pretty incredible? When they heard about the threats, they didn't say, you know, we better lay low for a while. Maybe we should stop meeting. Let's just stay in our homes and just, you know, let's not get in any trouble, more trouble here. Or they could have said, let's call together a board meeting and we'll have to work out a new plan, a new strategy. Or they didn't say, you know what, maybe we need to pack our bags and get out of town. That's not what they did. When they heard the news, it says that they prayed. And what did they pray about? Did they pray for protection from these threats? Protection from these bullies? No. Did they pray, Lord, may there not be any further arrests or imprisonment? No. Did they pray, Lord, give us a new facility someplace, a big facility, where we could meet with all these new converts that we have, and we could be by ourselves, and we don't have to worry about going to the temple anymore. Give us a new building. No, here's what they prayed. It's in verse 29. They prayed this, Lord, give us your servants great charisma, boldness in preaching your word. And after this prayer, verse 31, after this prayer, not a prayer, Lord, protect us from jail, protect us from these threats, protect us from the opposition, not that prayer, but a prayer of, Lord, give us boldness in face of the opposition, because we love you so much and we are going to continue to spread your word. After a prayer like that, look at verse 31, it says that the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, hold it down. After a prayer like that, I want you to hear this and not that. After a prayer like that, it says that the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the glory of God came down on the church. When? When they prayed, Lord, give us boldness in the face of opposition to preach this great news about Jesus, because we know that it's true. We know what it's done in our lives. We love other people. We want to see other people find this truth. So Lord, give us boldness to do it. And yet, how easily just the threat of the possibility of a negative response keeps us silent from our witness to others. Evangelism happens naturally and easily as a byproduct of a church that's focused on the glory of God. Salvation is not a work we do. Salvation is something that God does. So the question is, why isn't he doing it more through you? Through us? The question is not, how can we be more effective in our work for the Lord? Our question is, how can we remove any barriers that prevent us from doing, or prevent God from doing, what we know he desires to do? If instead of boldness, you're fearful, then you're forgetting our scripture for today. Let's look at that scripture one more time. Let me go through it one more time from 2 Corinthians. It says that God wants to spread the knowledge of Christ through us as a sweet perfume. We're like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently from different people. From those who are perishing, because they don't want to really hear about Christ, we smell bad. We smell like death and doom. But to those who are open to the message, it's like a life-giving perfume when we share it with them. And who is adequate for such a task? For you see, we're not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. You preach with sincerity. You preach with the authority of Christ. Because we know God is watching. So God has called us to spread this news about Jesus Christ. We want to remove any barriers that are preventing us from boldly doing that. Remember what that means. Speaking with confidence. But we have to realize that when we speak to certain people, to them, we stink. It's unavoidable. We're a dreadful smell, it says, of death and doom. When we share this idea that, you know, we are sinners. We do things wrong. We can't get into heaven. There's a judgment in hell unless we are forgiven. People don't like that message. They don't like to hear, first of all, that they do things wrong. They don't like to hear that there's a hell. So they don't like that message. So when you say that, when you're sharing that message, even if you're not using those words, they get it, and you don't smell too good to them. Right? But the good news to some is like a life-giving perfume. Because they're being drawn by the Spirit already. They know that what you're saying is what they want to hear. And notice that there's no middle ground as far as Paul is concerned. So Paul says, who's adequate for such a task? That's a very good question. I mean, that's what we're asking today. That's why we're praying for boldness, right? Who's adequate to do this? Because it's not what we can do for him. It's what he wants to do through us. That's what it's about. Now, look what happens when you are fearful because you know that people aren't going to like this message. So one of two things can happen when you're fearful about that. One is, because you are afraid people are going to get upset, and more importantly, they're going to get upset with you, well, you might tend to become silent about this message. You might become bland instead of bold. And you'll cease to be that Christ-like fragrance rising up to Christ, rising up to God. But the other thing that happens when you know people aren't going to like your message is that you can become like one of these hucksters, he says here. Arrogant, proud, nasty, aggressive, a salesperson type of guy. Like my turn and burn t-shirt friend. God does not want us to sell Jesus. Instead, we preach with sincerity, from love, knowing God's watching us, asking for his boldness. God wants boldness because it's the manner in which we speak about Jesus that comes from an overflow of our love for him. So we want to speak unafraid. Unafraid of how people will view us, unafraid of people maybe rejecting us, unafraid of everybody but God who's watching us and giving us boldness for those we need to speak to. And we're not going to hide any cost. You know, we know that there's a cost involved in receiving Christ, right? We know that. It's going to cost you everything to follow Christ. You have to give your life completely over to Him. He has to become the boss of your life. The chairman of the board of your life. And that's not an easy decision. That's a decision that we need to make too if we're going to be used by Him to share His gospel with boldness. So let me close with this scripture. Jesus said this in John chapter 4, verse 35. He said, you know the saying, 4 months from now, there's 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. In other words, stop saying, well, the harvest will come, it's months away. It's today. Every day, wherever you are, there's always people around you who need to hear about Jesus and are ripe to hear about Jesus. What makes a person ripe? Well, a person is ripe when they recognize and they realize that there's circumstances in their life, there's conditions in their life that's beyond their ability to solve. That person's ripe. When a person is thinking that there's got to be more to life than what I'm currently experiencing, that person is ripe. When a person is thinking that I'm an outcast, I'm unacceptable to others, I'm hurting, that person is ripe. For Jesus said, it's not the healthy, right, that needs a doctor? You know when people are ripe, when you're sharing with them and they're open, and you want to hear more. You know that God's already been preparing that field, right? They're already ripe to hear what you want to say. For no one comes to the Father unless the Son unless the Father draws them. Jesus said, no one comes to me unless the Father is drawing them. So lift up your eyes and look around. Field is ripe. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37-38, Jesus says this, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His field. I ask you to pray. I ask you to pray for more workers. I ask you to pray that you will be a worker. I ask you to pray for more boldness. I ask you to pray that we'll get out the word to those who need it to know about this great message of Christ. And that's our topic for next week as well, the topic of prayer. We've kept it for last, not because it's the least important, but because it's the most important. And so next week we'll look at this fourth pillar in bringing God's glory down on the church, which is prayer. Let's pray together. If you would just take a moment, just bow your heads, and just be alone with God, just you and Him. Just take a few moments. I'm just going to give you a few moments, just a few minutes more. That's just to you to concentrate on what God is saying to you. Along these lines of being bold and to tell others this good news that Jesus can forgive our sins and give us eternal life, and sharing that with others that are ready to hear it. Let God speak to you more specifically, and then I'll close in prayer. please stand with me as I close with prayer. Maybe God is speaking to you about a certain person that He wants you to go to, or you know is in need. He wants you to meet those needs, but He also wants it as an opportunity for you to share with them the good news of Jesus. Maybe God has talked to you about praying more for boldness and speaking to those that He puts on your heart to speak to. Continue to pray. Continue to seek the Lord. Continue to be filled with His power and love. And just obey Him. Almighty God, we want to thank You so much for this time that we've had to be together today. We thank You for meeting with us, for speaking to us, for working in our lives. We pray, Lord, that You would go with us, and that, Lord, You would work through us, that we would be the vessels that you would use, that we might see many more come to know this great salvation, this great hope that we have in Christ. Lord, You alone were the one, only one who could forgive my sin. You are the only one who could turn my life around. You are the only one who is able to give me hope. You are the only one that offers eternal life, the very thing we all desire. Lord, how could I be quiet about this great message? I pray, Lord, Your blessing on each and every person that is here, each family that they represent, Lord. I pray that they would go out in Your power and with Your blessing. Thank You, Lord, for all that You do in our lives. In Jesus, we pray these things in Your name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week.